What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Isaac Edelman here. We have Brett James alongside myself for an FL Teams preview. We are going to be discussing the Jacksonville Jaguars today. They are coming off a season in which they made the playoffs, something Jaguars fans did not expect. But once they drafted Trevor Lawrence, egos changed. What about your ego today, Brett? How's it going?
Bro, it's going great, man. I'm glad that we could get here on the preview and hop on a video as well together, too, man. You've been the founder of FL Teams now for a couple of years, man, and I've been loving being a part of the staff, man. All the opportunities and all the growth that we've done, from articles to videos to recaps to working collegiate games. I mean, now we're trying to get to the professional level. So it's been great, man. I love being a part of the team, man. And speaking of the Jaguars specifically, man, everyone's feeling great, bro. We have high expectations going into this year. The division doesn't look too great in the AFC South, excluding the Jaguars. Second year under Doug Peterson, second year of Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson together. Trevor Lawrence really came into his own. The Jags were 9-8 last year, like you alluded to. Won a playoff game and really kind of set the standard as to what this Jaguars team can look like in the future, not just in 2023. So I think a lot of us are feeling really good about this team moving forward, man.
Yeah, and as you guys should, because Trevor Lawrence, there's just no way he digresses. I mean, he's going to get better this year, and it's going to help that he has a new wide receiver in town. Well, they got him last year, but he obviously didn't play in Calvin Ridley. So let's start off with Calvin Ridley. Brett, what are your expectations for Calvin Ridley this season?
I expect Calvin Ridley to get back to all pro level form like we saw in 2020. His days with Matt Ryan, I mean, like I said, second team all pro, 1,374 yards, 8 touchdowns, I believe 90 receptions. That's just off the top of my head. Calvin Ridley is a phenomenal young wide receiver. And don't just take it from me. Take it from one of the best wide receivers in the game of football, and Devontae Adams, who called Calvin Ridley a top 5 wide receiver in the game of football just this offseason at 28 years of age. Yes, there might be a little bit of rust, but I don't expect that going into this year, because even though he only played 5 games in 2021 prior to sitting out the rest of the season, and then also 2022, we of course know he was suspended for the entirety of that season. This is one of the young premier wide receivers in the game of football. And at 28 years of age, he's got rest now on his side. He's let his body heal the last year and a half of having football off. And now he's in an explosive offense around a lot of other great talented players outside of just Trevor Lawrence, with guys like Christian Kirk, Zay Jones, Jamal Agnew, Evan Ingram, Travis Etienne, Tank Bigsby. Like, Calvin Ridley is going to really have an opportunity to flourish with a quarterback that's looking to make an MVP push this upcoming season. Calvin Ridley's the real deal, and everywhere around the building, all the press people working, all the journalists, and all the people that have actually been attending these camps will tell you the same thing I'm telling you. Calvin Ridley is the real deal, and you can see the mindset, you can see the motto, and you can see just how much enthusiasm there is around this guy.
Yeah, acquiring Calvin Ridley is not just helping Trevor Lawrence, but helping the Jaguars reach the playoffs. Obviously, Jacksonville's lucky to be in a weak division, arguably the weakest in football. But it's not always about the division and just winning the division. It goes to winning a playoff game, winning a second playoff game, winning a third playoff game. You obviously get the gist. But there's not just a Calvin Ridley in town. There's also a Christian Kirk. He proved a lot of doubters wrong last year. Just talk about how big of a contract the Jaguars gave him, yet he produced and kind of shut down the haters that said that's way too much money heading to Christian Kirk.
Yeah, there was a lot of people, not just, I would say, even in the Jags community, a lot of people just around the NFL community as a whole that really thought Christian Kirk was the most overpriced and overpaid wide receiver. He kind of reset the wide receiver market for a guy in Arizona who never had eclipsed a 1,000-yard season. Lo and behold, in his first year in Jacksonville, he puts together a 1,100-yard season, 8 touchdowns, one of the best receivers coming out of the slot, and obviously had a career year in his first year in Jacksonville. Same thing with Zay Jones coming over from the Raiders. His first year in Jacksonville, career year. Evan Ingram, his first year in Jacksonville last year, after all of these years playing with the Giants, a career year. All of these guys came to Jacksonville wanting the same thing, wanting team success and wanting individual success, and they got it. And there's a lot to look forward to with Christian Kirk and what he was able to do to help Trevor Lawrence really have a number one wide receiver last year, a guy who was extremely dependent in the slot and a guy who made a lot of big plays for the Jaguars last season. Christian Kirk is one of the best guys coming out of the slot, and just he really wowed a lot of Jags fans and a lot of people in the NFL community last year. We all knew the potential and the skill and the talent was there. It was just kind of waiting to see how he was actually going to be able to produce. And he's just 26 years of age. Christian Kirk's only going to continue to get better.
You mentioned Devin Ingram. I think, in my eyes, he was the most surprising player for the Jaguars last season. Mm-hmm. They signed him because they needed a tight end. The Jaguars really haven't had a good tight end in the last few years. And Evan Ingram, I don't think anyone expected to do as good as he did last year, just based on how he performed with the Giants. I think he made one Pro Bowl, but he wasn't outstanding. Last year, there were some games where he really was a difference maker. So can we expect that this season yet again?
Yeah, I think you can still expect Evan Ingram to come in and still make a very big contribution onto this Jaguars team, even though the Jaguars did draft tight end from Penn State, Brenton Strange, in the second round. Expect Evan Ingram to still have a huge role into this offense because Evan Ingram did come to Jacksonville on a one-year, $9 million deal, a prove-it deal because Jacksonville, one, needed a tight end, but two, Evan Ingram was banking on himself. Doug Peterson has had a lot of success in the past as a tight end guru, right? Yeah. We saw that with his days in Philadelphia and how he was very tight end centric with guys like Brent Celek, Dallas Goedert, Zach Ertz. He comes to Jacksonville and Evan Ingram says, this is a coach that I want to play for. This is a quarterback I want to play for in a system that's going to put me in the best position to succeed. And that's exactly what Evan Ingram got last season. He had a couple hundred yard receiving games. He, like I said, had career highs across the board in receptions and in yards. And Evan Ingram is a dynamic playmaker for this Jaguars offense. He brings another element because while he is a tight end, this guy's essentially a 6'6" wide receiver playing out there with the tight end capabilities that he has. Evan Ingram's a special player, and I expect him to make some big college contributions for this Jaguars team this upcoming season again.
And before we move on to the defense, Brett, can you just touch on Travis Etienne? Obviously, it was technically his second year of football last year, but the first year playing. So this is really going to be his second season playing. Can we expect a big leap for the starting running back? And now there's no James Robinson, so I feel like there's less pressure on Travis Etienne.
Yeah, I'd say there's a whole lot less pressure on Travis Etienne to really go out there and produce because, like you mentioned earlier, his first season, in 2021 when he got drafted, he suffered the Liz Frank injury, was out the entire season. So 2022 was essentially his first season in the NFL, and he wowed a lot of people. He eclipsed over 1,000 yards rushing. He had about 1,400 yards from scrimmage. Expect that number rushing yards to be somewhere near 1,500 this upcoming season, even with the Jaguars drafting Tank Bigsby in the draft out of Auburn, who's going to have a big role into this offense as well, too. Doug Peterson has mentioned it in the past, and he's going to say it yet again. Travis Etienne is going to be a guy who's going to get somewhere around 1,600 yards running the ball. Doug Peterson wants to be a guy who can run the ball. And like you said earlier, too, James Robinson's no longer here. He was taking a lot of the load the first 4 to 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And also in that Baltimore game back in week 12, Travis Etienne left the game early. So there's essentially 4 or 5 games back in 2022 where Travis Etienne was essentially a no-show because he wasn't getting the opportunities to have the ball because either James Robinson was there or because of injury. That's 4 or 5 games extra on top of a 1,000-yard season that you can expect Travis Etienne to have a huge impact on this football team. He's an explosive and dynamic playmaker for this team. Obviously, him and Trevor go back to Clemson. They've got chemistry and continuity together. This is a special backfield and a backfield that features Travis Etienne, Tank Bigsby, D'Ernest Johnson, a USF product, and Jamichael Hasty. This is one of the better overall backfields in the game of football with speed and a lot of playmaking ability.
Yeah, and we love D'Ernest Johnson here on FL Teams. We interviewed him last year when he was on the Cleveland Browns. You know, we really want to keep it to Florida coverage, so if it wasn't for the USF connection, we wouldn't have had him on. But guess what?
Right.
He's now on a Florida team in the Jaguars. So let's move on to the defensive side of the ball, Brett. Obviously, there's a ton of players on a defense, but if there's one player that's maybe underrated or is the key player for the Jaguars' success this season on the defensive side of the ball, who would that be?
Well, you know, I think it kind of depends on who you're asking. I'll say for myself, I think the key player and I think the most underrated player on the defense is actually two different answers. I think the key to our defense this upcoming season is going to be former first-round pick back in 2019, Josh Allen, outside linebacker. I think he's probably the key to the Jaguars defense, especially in that front seven, making sure you get home to the quarterback. And with all the great talented quarterbacks in the AFC, you're going to have to get home and disrupt the pass rushers, have the pass rushers disrupt the quarterback, especially in a loaded AFC conference with quarterbacks. But I think the most underrated player on this Jaguars defense has got to be cornerback Tyson Campbell. Last season, he graded as a top 10 cornerback per PFF, and Tyson Campbell did a phenomenal job locking down some very good receivers on the outside last season. Tyson Campbell is a huge, huge piece of this Jaguars secondary. He's easily the Jaguars' best player in that secondary. And after an impressive campaign that he put together in 2022, he's going to have another great year in 2023 to really prove himself and solidify himself, I believe, as a top 10 cornerback in this game.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. Josh Allen was really good last season. I would have also said that he's the key player in the Jaguars defense. So let's really get into our overall prediction for the Jaguars. Look, they're in an AFC South division that's weak. I don't think there's any other way to put it. You have the Titans, Texans, and Colts. Obviously, the Titans still have Ryan Tannehill, but we can just say they have Malik Willis, CJ Stroud for the Texans, and Anthony Richardson for the Colts. So as young as Trevor Lawrence is, he basically, putting aside Tannehill, is the most experienced quarterback in the division. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Jaguars go 6-0 against the rest of the division. Agree or disagree? Yeah.
I would be very surprised if the Jaguars go 6-0 versus the division. That's me being completely objective. I can be objective. I believe no matter how elite or how strong of a team you may have in comparison, no matter how weak your competition may look or inferior they may look, you're still going to see these guys twice a year, right? Yeah, they know your tendencies. They know how you play, and they got a lot of film on you. Trust me, they do, especially the coaching staff, whether they've been together for a long time or not too. And like you said, excluding Ryan Tannehill, Trevor Lawrence is essentially the most experienced quarterback in this division top to bottom. You look at Tennessee, you look at Indianapolis, and the Houston Texans all have rookie quarterbacks, right? You know, Will Levis or Malik Willis, who's going to win his second year. You talk about CJ Stroud and, of course, Anthony Richardson, who's going to be getting the start week one versus the Jaguars. So there's a lot of things working in the Jaguars' favor. When I actually did my schedule prediction a couple of weeks ago, I had the Jaguars finishing 5-1 in the division. I had the Jaguars sweeping the Tennessee Titans. I had them sweeping the Houston Texans, but I do have them dropping one game to the Indianapolis Colts, and that'll be, I believe, week 6 at home, even though the Colts have not beat Jacksonville in Jacksonville, I believe, since 2014 or 2013, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on that number, but it's somewhat something like that. I just feel like in the NFL, no matter how great or how talented you are as a team, you're bound to lose a game or two within your division, right? Now, is it possible the Jags are 6-0? Of course. But I lean more definitely on the 5-1, maybe even 4-2 if the Jaguars are somehow going to slip up two games in this division. But the Jaguars should at least go 5-1 in this division.
Yeah. Now, looking outside the division, obviously week 2, you have a big game against the Chiefs. We're not going to touch on every single non-divisional game, but I do want to touch on the Chiefs because we know the Chiefs consistently are one of the best AFC teams and maybe best NFL teams. They just won yet another Super Bowl. You think the Jaguars can beat the Chiefs? It is Jacksonville's home opener.
Yeah, no, I do think Jacksonville actually goes out there and wins week 2, right? And like I said, this is just me being completely objective. With all due respect to the Kansas City Chiefs, Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, you know, missing out on Chris Jones as of right now because the Chiefs are set to play the Lions this Thursday, and Chris Jones is looking like he's not going to be there. He's obviously one of the better interior defensive linemen in the game of football. Yeah. 15 and a half sacks last season. That Chiefs defense is going to struggle mightily, and if you can find a way to compound the run game and keep Patrick Mahomes off the field and run the ball down the Chiefs' throat, you're going to have an opportunity to win a lot of games, at least be ahead of the eight ball, well, I should say, on Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, even though they're always going to be in every game because they're so talented. I think the Jaguars win that game in week 2 because it is the home opener. That crowd is going to be rocking at Everbank Field, and the Jaguars are essential. Well, that game has been sold out, but there's going to be a lot of Jaguar fans there. There's going to be way more Jags fans than there are going to be Chiefs fans, because I saw Kansas City come to Jacksonville personally with my own two eyes in 2019 when Patrick Mahomes put together his MVP caliber year. There was too many Chiefs fans there. This time around, it's going to be a different story. The Jags are going to pack the bank and they're going to lock down the bank. The Jaguars are going to win their home opener and they're going to start the year off 2-0.
Here's another top AFC team, and lucky for the Jags, it's another home game. Talk about their matchup with the Bills.
Yeah, this game's going to be a home game, but it's actually going to be a London game, which is actually going to kind of work to our benefit because When you look at it, this is the Jaguars going to be playing back-to-back weeks in London, right? So they're going to be playing Atlanta in London, and then they're also going to be playing Buffalo in London. The Jaguars are going to have the benefit of the doubt when it comes to beating the Bills in London, because the Jaguars are going to have their body adjusted to the jet lag and the time set, the time zone, because they'd already played the previous week in London. So they're going to be staying there for essentially a week and a half, 2 weeks, as they play the Falcons and they play the Bills. With all due respect to the Buffalo Bills and how great of a team that is too, I think the Jaguars having the jet lag work in their favor, as Buffalo is going to have to travel from the United States to England during that week at some point while the Jaguars will have their rest and preparation. I think that works in the Jaguars' favor. Jaguars' Josh Allen takes advantage of Bills quarterback Josh Allen for the second time in their career. And Jacksonville gets a big win in London over the Buffalo Bills.
Great analysis. I think those are basically the two main games I wanted to discuss. Obviously, there's a key game against the Saints, which I think the Saints will be good this season, so we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah, Buccaneers, that's a Thursday night football game.
Yeah, the Buccaneers shouldn't be a problem. Obviously, you have to play the Ravens. I don't want to touch on every game. So, look, now that we discussed the Bills and the Chiefs, who I think basically could be fighting with the Jaguars for a top seed in the playoffs, let's just go over your overall season record. Where do you have the Jaguars sitting when the season comes to an end?
Yeah, so, I mean, let me say this first and foremost. Let me preface my comments by saying that when you get to the postseason, especially with how much of a gauntlet the AFC is, and you look at the elite talented quarterbacks, guys like Trevor Lawrence, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, the list goes on and on. There's so many phenomenal talented quarterbacks in the AFC. Once you get to the playoffs and it's one and done, anything can happen on any given Sunday. So I won't even predict that. But when we're talking regular season, we see the schedule and we assume health with all of these teams. I have the Jaguars being the number one seed in the AFC at the end of the season, because the Jaguars are obviously extremely talented on paper. They're playing in one of the weakest divisions in all of football, which they should take advantage of. And the Jaguars also play, I believe, eight potential rookie quarterbacks this upcoming season. When you talk about, obviously within the AFC South, that's potentially six of those games. And then also Bryce Young, and then there's another one I'm missing off the top of my head. I didn't look at the schedule. I don't have it pulled up in front of me, but the Jaguars should take advantage of those games. And when you look at the rest of the teams in the AFC, the perennial contenders, the Jaguars had the easiest schedule. The Jaguars had the 11th easiest schedule in terms of strength of schedule in the entire NFL. That should work to the Jaguars' benefit. The Jaguars, I believe, will be 13-4 this upcoming season. They're going to have their big-time matchups. They're going to have some primetime matchups, and they have to take advantage of those games, especially when it comes to tiebreakers towards the end of the season. They need to take advantage of their weak schedule. Just like any other NFL team, they're going to drop some games. Maybe they shouldn't, but they're also going to win some games where it's kind of looking like, hey, things are kind of, you know, getting out of control, but they find a way to be resilient and win those games. Jacksonville is going to be 13-4 this upcoming season. They're going to be the number one seed in the AFC, and they're going to get that first round bye, because it's extremely important, I believe, in this year's AFC playoff race when you look at how tough the AFC conference is as a whole, top to bottom.
And that's key, because now in the NFL, only one team gets a bye.
Only
in each
one
conference.
Team gets that bye.
And look, you heard it from Brett first. The Jaguars will be the number one seed in the AFC. So before we wrap up, Brett, just what would you say to non-Jaguar fans that don't believe in the Jags? I'm sure they believe in the Jags winning the division because it's the AFC South, but let's say they don't believe in the Jags advancing past the first round in the playoffs. What would you say to those people?
I would say go back and watch the wild card round of last year's NFL playoffs, man. I mean, if that wasn't convincing enough to you, whether you're a Jags fan or not, to say that Trevor Lawrence is the real deal, this Jaguars team is resilient, they are the real deal, that game right there should have told you all you need to know. And another year of experience, another year under Doug Peterson, Press Taylor, and Mike Caldwell, the offensive and defensive coordinators, this is a team you should believe in, because this team clearly never gave up on one another. They never gave up in Trevor Lawrence, and they find a way. They consistently came back from 27 down to beat the LA Chargers. They came back from 17 down to beat the Dallas Cowboys. They came back from 9 down in the fourth quarter to beat the Baltimore Ravens. They came back from 17 down to beat the Las Vegas Raiders. Consistently, this team finds a way to scrap and claw and to be resilient. They believe in one another. They have the talent. They're going to be one of the most explosive offenses in the NFL. This team has a Super Bowl winning head coach at the helm. They've got a young quarterback who everyone believes in. This team is the real deal. And I think a lot of people believe in the Jacksonville Jaguars, especially come postseason time.
Amazing stuff, Brett. Truly incredible. And in terms of amazing stuff, we also have to discuss your YouTube channel before we wrap up. Mm-hmm. Please give Brett James a subscribe. I mean, he puts out the best coverage. His content is not just factual, and he's not just a good content creator, but his quality work is amazing. I mean, I don't know many YouTubers that had the setup as him, whether it's audio, camera, or graphics. He's just a truly all-around amazing YouTuber, and that's why I'm so grateful for you coming on to FL Team to discuss the Jaguars' upcoming season.
Well, thanks, Isaac, man. I appreciate it very much, and like I said, man, I work hard at my craft. I love what I do, man. I'm passionate about the work that I put out for you and everybody else that supported me and my vision. Can't wait to continue to watch football this upcoming season, man. Post some great content for FL Teams, articles, recaps, and everything that we're going to be continuously doing for the team, for the channel, and, you know, for FL Teams and for my channel as well, too. It's going to be great. We're going to be working a lot of games in the future.
Yeah.
And, yeah, man, it's just going to be great, bro. It's going to be a hell of a year to watch some Jaguars football and watch some NFL football this upcoming season.
Appreciate it, Brett. Guys, remember, check out flteams.com, your go-to one-stop shop for all Florida sports coverage, and follow at FL Teams on all social media platforms. Brett, thanks so much for coming on, man.
Thank you for having me, man.